This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, 10th caller right now. We'll get that $25 gift certificate to Sorgles out in Wexford, 412-922-1020. Well, the aftermath, the storm, you know, we talk a lot about trees, and boy, trees were affected, were they not, Doug Oster?
Yes, they were. Boy, I'll tell you, I was so lucky the way it worked out for me, and I feel so bad for people who weren't as lucky. I was talking to Frank before we came on. Frank's out there, and both of us lose our power when the breeze blows. But you got this storm, and I'm in a declining oak forest, you know, 15 minutes of something I've never seen before, but I didn't hear a thing. And as soon as we went out, I mean, giant oak trees, 100-year-old oak trees just uprooted, cherry trees, huge giant arborvitaes just completely prostrate, laying on the ground. And so when the dust clears, Davey's going to be coming to my place to
imagine how busy they are.
No, I didn't even bother emailing. No. Because that is important. There's people that don't have power. I mean, and I wonder how these storms affect getting their power back, you know, when you're out there working. So I've got this flowering crab apple tree that I love, and it's right out the kitchen window. So for 20-some years, whenever we're doing the dishes in the spring, we see this flowering crab. And maybe 10 years ago, a pine tree fell on it. And Davey came, and they were going to take it out. And I begged the arborist, please, can you try and just trim it in a way? And he goes, it's going to look funny, but in a few years, it'll be okay. And so it did. In a few years, it looked okay. In fact, Rob Kruljack was at the property a couple weeks ago filming for In Doug's Garden, which debuted yesterday on KDKA-TV. And he was looking at the crab apple. He's like, oh, you got some decay there, and I didn't even notice it. Well, during the storm, half of that crab apple got cracked off. And so I got out there personally, and because I was on the ground. I don't do any cutting on trees if I have to get like up on a ladder or anything. It's crazy. On the feet on the ground, made my cuts, and like half the tree is there. We'll see. The next time that Rob comes, I'm going to ask him about it. But then, you know, again, out in the forest, these huge trees, I mean, where their root mass is taller than two of you or I, Rob. I mean, just like, it's just unbelievable. The one tree that I was most concerned with, I planted like 7 years ago, and I tell people not to do this. I was planting this huge American hornbeam. It's a native tree. They sometimes call it musselwood. It has this kind of sinewy silver bark. And I had to get my wife to help me. The root ball was so big, I had to have her help me kind of roll it into the hole. And she said, you should plant this in memory of your brother who passed away. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I always tell people don't do that, because what if the tree dies? And so all around it were these big trees that fell, but it was fine. So somehow that American hornbeam survived. And so I hope you're doing okay out there. I spoke yesterday at Fox Chapel. A lot of people that came to the speaking engagement, they didn't have power. And so what a storm. I mean, I'm sure you have been deluged with it, you know, talking about it night and day. This is my first time to talk about it. If something happened to your garden, give us a call. We got a guest here coming up at 7:15, but after that 7:30 news break, let's talk about it, and we can talk about what you should do for a tree that is cut in a certain way, or bark is stripped off, or whatever happened in your garden. Give us a call. And our guest is Peggy Ann Montgomery from flowerbubs.com, who will be giving away a $100 gift certificate good for spring bulbs. Bulbs aren't just for fall planting. They're for spring planting, too. And I've got all sorts of bulbs from flowerbulbs.com growing in the greenhouse. Now, I talked about the debut of season 4 of In Doug's Garden. It's my television show that runs on KDKA streaming Saturday mornings. Now, and it's up on my YouTube channel. You can go to DougOster.com and take a look at it. Rob Kruljack's on there talking about native trees. I'm planting spring greens, answering a gardener's question, doing my You Should Grow This. And then finally, I have the ultimate video of Joe Hamm's Daffodil Garden. The guy that I work with that helps produce and shoot the show and edit the show has this, he's a registered drone pilot. He shot Joe's garden with the drone. It looks amazing. You can watch that show every Saturday, 9 a.m. on KDKA streaming, and watch it right now at DougOster.com. And for this show, I'm looking for some cool gardens. If you know of a garden that should be highlighted on the TV show, let me know. I found one yesterday in Fox Chapel. A park, actually, where it's like a kid's walk through edibles. If you've got something you think, geez, Doug should do a story on this, just go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button, and I'll get an email from you. And I've got a really cool event going on today at 1 o'clock. I'm going to be at Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse, and that's south of the city. You go 79 south, get off the Bridgeville exit. And it's out in the country, and I am going to be answering all your garden questions. I'm going to sit at the nursery, answer your garden questions, and anybody who wants to, I am going to record the questions, and we'll use them here on the air, and I'm going to do some videos, too, which we'll use on the In Doug's Garden television show. So come out and see me today, 1 o'clock, Bedner's Farm and Greenhouse, and they have, I'm going to load up the truck with all sorts of cool plants. I always look forward to going to Bedner's. I look forward to going to all our nurseries. And remember to save the date. Sunday, June 1st, is our 23rd annual Doug Oster Plant Swap and Garden Hullabaloo. That is where I give away the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomato. And you know I talk about that tomato all the time. But I swear to you, everywhere I go, yesterday in Fox Chapel speaking at the community center, I had two people come up to me and say, oh, that potato top tomato that you've been giving away since who knows when, since 2000, that's my favorite tomato, and I saved the seeds. And it's just a fun story. Fred Limbaugh, who passed away years ago, but in 2000 just called me out of the blue at the Post-Gazette telling me about this tomato that he loved, and his family's grown it for generations. And I still grow out tomatoes for the family. Actually, Sorgles does. And every time at the plant swap and giveaway, Jim Limbaugh comes, Fred's son, and we talk a little bit about Fred, explain to people about Fred, who didn't even like tomatoes. He just grew these tomatoes and gave them away to people, the plants, and didn't even like tomatoes. And I wanted to perpetuate this variety, and so You come pick up that tomato at Sorgles on June 1st, 1 o'clock, and then you grow it out. I'll give you some instructions, and then you save the seeds and send them back to me. And to do that, that perpetuates the tomato. And I get tomato seeds from actually all over the world, believe it or not, because of the internet. People get the seeds and grow it out, and I've got groups that are just, you know, obsessed with this tomato. It's a great one. But it is one of the last ones you will pick. I always tell people, yeah, you got a great tomato there, but we need early tomatoes, mid-season tomatoes, and late tomatoes so that you're picking all summer long. In my garden, you know, my greenhouse, unheated greenhouse, my buddy Rob Marshall, I know he listens. Rob, I need to get back to you about fixing up that greenhouse, but I've got lots of tomatoes going there, and I hope that everything's going okay with your garden. And coming up next is Peggy Ann Montgomery from flowerbulbs.com.
Yeah, and the weather has obviously got people thinking about canning, and we're going to be talking to Stephen Janoski tomorrow night on my program about tariffs and local produce. And look, you know, you go out to Janoski's, get those jarred products. You're dealing with, you know, perishables and power outages. You can get your hands on some food. Maybe get that garden going this year and start canning on your own. Something to think about, because the weather has obviously been very different in recent years for sure. All right, short break. Doug and his guest on the other side. This is the Organic Gardeners Today with your Pratt Pack on KDKA. Good morning.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm joined this morning again by my friend Peggy Ann Montgomery from flowerbulbs.com. And Peggy, welcome back to the show. And we're used to talking about bulbs in the fall, but there's lots of cool spring things to plant too, right?
That's right. Good morning, Doug. Thanks so much for having me on the show again.
So what is flowerbulbs.com?
We have a website, and it's what my mission really is, to teach people about bulbs, to educate folks, and to get them inspired. We don't sell any bulbs at our site, but we just want folks to remember that these great plants are out there and they will add so much fun to your landscape, spring and fall.
It is the mission that we both hold dear to our heart, is to try and get people to plant bulbs. And again, we're enjoying a lot of our spring bulbs now that we planted in the fall, but there are things we plant right now that are bulbs that we can enjoy for the rest of the season, right?
That's right. You know, I'm crazy about lilies. I put in a lot of different ones. I put in the Asiatics because they flower first, and then the Orientals. Also really love Martagon lilies. I'm crazy about Crocosmi, and I don't know why... more people don't plant that. And there's also a lot of kind of tropical looking plants when we think of calla lilies and canna lilies and elephant ears and all of those crazy ones that make our homes look like our vacation spot.
So let's talk about lilies first, because I'm obsessed with lilies. Now, in my case, they have to be planted in like a fenced in vegetable garden, because the deer in my area will take the buds. But I don't mind sharing my vegetable space with the lilies. Talk a little bit about how we plant those and what we get out of them.
Yeah, so lilies, like most bulbs, they want to be planted in a soil that is moist but well drained. Any kind of bulbs that are going to eventually sit in water or a place where the water collects when it rains heavily at your house, that's not the right spot. Get them into some moist, well-drained soil. They really prefer full sun. Some of them will take light shade. Tiger lilies, I think, do fairly well with some shade. But, you know, again, that rule of thumb is to plant them about three times as deep as they are tall. So if you've got a 2-inch high lily bulb, let's get it down there about 6 inches or so, and that will help. There's some really tall varieties that I love. Sometimes they're called tree lilies, and these guys in my yard are like 8 feet tall. So we're talking about the back of the border, and they will need staking just because they are so giant. As they get older, their stems are stronger, but nevertheless, you'll do yourself a favor if you go ahead and just put in a stake when you plant it. That way you're not going to push the stake right through the bulb, and it's there and ready for you when these things start coming out of the ground.
And then there's the fragrance.
The fragrance. See, not everybody loves that, which I can't even hardly believe. So if you don't, go with the Asiatic types. But if you're like me and Doug and you love that, go for the Orientals. They are so amazing. And I also plant some, and planting them in the vegetable garden is a great idea, because then you don't feel so bad about cutting them and bringing them in the house. And one bouquet, just two or three stems, will perfume your whole house.
And let's talk about a few shade lovers like caladiums or begonias. Again, can those plants, for me, I'm taking those bulbs out when it gets cold at the end of the season, saving them and replanting them. But you don't have to do that.
No, you really don't. And I think it's important to talk about shade, Doug, because so many of us have shady parts of our garden that we still want to be beautiful. And caladiums are actually the National Gardening Bureau's bulb of the year. And these guys are insane. They come in greens and whites and reds and pinks and mottled foliage, and they're real show stealers. The only thing about them is, wait till the soil gets warm. I am always tricked because they're so beautiful, and I buy them and I think, oh, I'll just wait. Don't buy them until your soil warms up a little bit after your last frost before you get them in the ground, and then they'll really take off. But if they get a cold snap first, they're not going to like it and never really recover. And begonias, same thing. You know, I can't think of anything, honestly, that blooms as crazily as begonias from early till frost. They just don't quit.
And then, and then dahlias.
Dahlias. Okay. I'm a little on the fence about this one. If I don't plant them, I'm sad I don't have them in the fall. But when I plant them, and so I have them for the fall, I'm kind of worn out by November, and I don't want to dig them and put them away. So you know what? They're not any more expensive than the other annuals I buy, so I just compost them and let them go, or just let them stay in the soil. But I'll tell you what, when late summer, fall comes around, there is nothing quite as spectacular as dahlias.
Yeah, I always tell people, don't deny yourself the beauty of dahlias just because you don't want to dig them out. And if Peggy is not digging them out, we know it's okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to get smarter and work a little less hard. I don't know about you, man.
I'm too cheap to throw them away, to throw them into the compost. I've got to try and save them. What else is on your mind when it comes to planting spring bulbs?
Well, one that I'm going to try is ranunculus. I always think of ranunculus as being a cold crop. I don't really put them in the ground in my Zone 7 garden here in Delaware. It just gets too hot, and they really don't like summers here. They'll be done blooming before it really gets hot here and goes away. You and I have yards to plant in, but not everybody does. So, like, if you just have a balcony or something, go ahead. Don't deny yourself all of these great bulbs. It's okay if you're going to compost them at the end of the year. You do that with your hanging basket too.
And Peggy is offering an amazing giveaway. Tell us all about it, Peggy.
Well, we want to send you a gift certificate to buy some bulbs for $100. Back in the day, I used to just have giveaways where I'd pick out the bulbs and send them to folks. But then I thought, well, that's crazy. How do I know what they like?
And to enter that contest, all you have to do is go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button and say, I want to win some bulbs, and I'll pick somebody randomly. Peggy, what's the best way for people to connect with flowerbulbs.com?
Well, we've got some great social media sites. We'd love you to visit us at flowerbulbs.com on Facebook, flowerbulbs, DOTCOM on Instagram, and come on and give me your gardening questions, because it's not some stranger that's going to answer them for you. It's going to be me. So let's get in touch. If you have any questions, you let me know, and we're going to do all we can to make bulb lovers out of you.
And all that information is also at DougOster.com. And trust me, Peggy knows her stuff. I've learned a lot from her over the years, and she is a bulb nut just like me. Right, Peggy?
I don't know if anybody is a daffodil nut as much as you are, even though I've got hundreds and hundreds blooming outside. I bet you have more.
I don't know about that, but I do love them. So thanks so much for joining us this morning, Peggy. It was great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, Doug. I always love being on your show.
All right, let's make it the 10th caller to win that gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. The number here to have that opportunity, 412-922-1020. So we want some gardening questions too. So what do you think about all of the weather that we've had? You know, you growing up in Ohio, me growing up here, yeah, there was the threat of tornadoes, but we never saw a tornado. We never saw winds 70 miles an hour plus. And we had some thunderstorms and things of that nature and some flooding. But think about all the tornadoes and the things that we've had. You have to really start wondering about climate change and things that are going on, Doug.
My second day working at the Post-Gazette.
84?
98.
Oh, that, okay.
At the Post-Gazette. That tornado.
I remember that.
And I had to direct the coverage for the photography department. I didn't know where Mount Washington was or what Mount Washington was. And that was crazy. And before I had moved into my house. I lived in Greensburg for 3 months while we were selling the house in Ohio. And that tornado took out one of the Dawn Redwoods at my current home. But before we got there. But yeah. Something's changing.
That's strange.
Something's changing. And, you know, as we talk about the positives of having a longer season, but the wild weather is just, it's crazy. Like I said, I never saw anything like that. And we've been living here 26, 27 years. And when you live in a declining oak forest and the wind blows like that, it's the worst thing in the world. It's just the worst thing. Yeah, it's just the worst thing in the world. And me being smart, I'm standing at the window looking out. My wife's like, shouldn't we be in the basement? And I'm like, this is really cool looking. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, you know, 100-year-old oak trees are all over the place.
It was something to behold for sure. But I also think it couldn't hurt just to maybe get a little garden going and start canning a few things just to have it up on the shelf, because the energy grid in our country is really bad. And, you know, these great utility commissions or companies are doing everything they can, but it just seems that we have more of these outages that last longer. And we've got people now, like 40,000 out of 400,000 still left. That's a lot of people that they're going to have to go till Tuesday night. Now, Duquesne Light and others are saying by Tuesday night, 7:30, everybody should have power. But if you'd have some of those vegetables canned and you could go and, you know, have some sustainable food in the house, that might not be a bad idea.
My township has a sign out where you can take spoiled food and dump it there. You know, they
really?
Yeah, they've got a place, and for debris, storm debris, they've got they're taking it. That's Ross.
What do they do with that?
Ross Township.
Food?
I have no. I mean, the debris, they would probably turn into wood chips, but the spoiled food, I'm sure it just. I would guess it just goes to the trash. I don't know. But
imagine how much food.
Oh yeah, yeah, and I had a friend, again, only a mile away, and he just got his back. I think it was Friday, and my son had given us this big giant battery thing. You charge it up ahead of time, and it gives you like 15 hours of power. And so,
wow.
Yeah, but the thing weighs 100 pounds. So this friend of mine, I'm like, it'll run your refrigerator. He goes, that's all I need, that and maybe my computer. Because he's still working during this time, you know, covering the marathon and covering all this other stuff. He needs the computer. And so every day in the morning, I would go pick up the 100-pound battery, bring it back, charge it, and take it back to his place, and so that he could run his refrigerator and everything. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people I talked to yesterday, they had generators going. And again, you got to be careful with that. How many times have we heard about disasters that way? So hopefully this is over quicker than later, and we get before Tuesday.
I think generators are going to be commonplace in the next 10, 15 years. I think when you get your HVAC and you're building a house, I think they're going to be putting generators in. I really believe that.
Well, let's talk about something better. Weeds. Weeds actually are better than the subject that we're talking about.
Well, you can always put a generator on top of the weeds.
Yeah. Well, you know, with all this rain, I'm telling you, the weeds are going nuts, and I've been out there pulling some, but there's some weeds that you should pull, and there's some weeds you shouldn't. So there's one right now that you'll see out there, and it's called garlic mustard, and it's about 2 feet tall and has little white flowers, and you want to get that out of the garden. It's an invasive. It's a what we call biennial. And I've talked about it before. I might have even talked about it last week because I see it everywhere. The first year, it just puts on foliage. The second year, it flowers. And then it goes to seed, and the cycle continues. So I've just been pulling that out like crazy. The other one, the little one, is called bittercress, and that one's already gone to seed. Get that out of the garden. But the ones that we don't pull, your Japanese knotweed, Bindweed we don't see yet, but bindweed is the one that climbs up and looks like a white morning glory. It's just kind of a vine. And then Canadian thistle, sometimes they call them jaggers. They all three have this kind of white, fleshy root. And when you start pulling on it, it invigorates that root and makes the plant stronger. So on those three, Japanese knotweed, which sometimes they call it bamboo, it's not a bamboo, the bindweed, which is the one that looks like the morning glory when it gets going, and the thistle, we want to just cut it to the ground. It's called continual top cutting, and I use a string trimmer. And this is not an easy way to deal with it, but you will get rid of it eventually, but it might take an entire season, maybe longer. I got rid of Japanese knotweed by cutting it down every 2 weeks, cutting it down to the ground, because what's happening is the top feeds the bottom, and when you keep removing the top, the bottom eventually starves. And so, again, this is not an easy thing to do, but it's the only way I know to deal with those three things. I've got rid of actually two of the three, because the Canadian thistle, thank goodness, I don't have, but it is such that stuff is a royal pain. But I inherited a bed that was filled with bindweed. And again, just that little vine gets going here and probably pretty soon. And the other thing, if you haven't cut down your perennials yet, we're, you know, for a lot of us are leaving our perennials up, it's time to do that. And we leave those up because we want to help the pollinators, help the good bugs. Attracting pollinators is an important part of gardening nowadays. Not only are European honeybees, but our native pollinators are also, many are in decline. So think about that when you're going to the nursery, when you're going to be planting, to look at plants, just different flowers that are going to bring in pollinators. I've got some, for the first year in a long time, I've got some cosmos in the greenhouse, and I've always loved cosmos, and it kind of like dances in the breeze, and there's a million different types of cosmos, and they're a good pollinator plant. I've got my Mexican sunflowers going, and so you'll find those here and there at different nurseries. But I'm excited to have my Mexican sunflowers. My friend out at the Pittsburgh Botanic Garden, Dr. Mark Miller, we do a botanic walk and talk out there about once a quarter, and I'm always talking about this Mexican sunflower and what a great pollinator plant it is. It doesn't need anything from the gardener. And again, I talk about it all the time, so I hope you're not bored with this, but the plant gets 6 foot to up to 15 feet, orange flowers about 3 inches across, just filled with butterflies and hummingbirds, and I've been growing it forever. Well, anyway, he's just like, if you're going to start some of those from seed, get some of those to me, would you? And I said, I'm happy to. And so what's nice about having friends like that, plant people, he sent me an email, and you know, I had the Mexican sunflowers going. I didn't really tell him, but he's like, hey, I got something for you. So he's got a plant for me. I got a plant for him. Before I head for London on in mid-May here, I'm going to hook up with him, get him his Mexican sunflowers, and then he's got a plant for me. And that's what we'll be doing, the same sort of thing, on June 1st at Sorgel's at 1 o'clock. Put that on your calendar. It's so much fun. You don't even have to swap. If you don't have a plant, don't worry about it. Just come. Get a free tomato plant, and they're nice. You know, Sorgel's makes them, they look better than any tomato plant I grow in my greenhouse. They always look great. And the other thing about Sorgel's, too, is the second year Braden has been working there, and he's a pepper nut. And, man, he has got the coolest varieties of peppers. I'm going to get my peppers from him. I didn't even start any peppers from seed this year because last year when I got those peppers from him, they were a big hit with all my garden friends. So I'm sure we can take a look at those when we do our plant swap on June 1st. But, we just 23 years, and then 3 years before that, I was doing it at my own house. Do we want to take a call, or we want to wait till the break? Yeah, wait for the break. That sounds good, Rob.
All right, quick break, then we'll come back, and we're going to go to Washington and talk to John on The Organic Gardener with Doug Oster. Next hour, Cinco de Mayo on the Coons Cooking Hour. Let's say hi to John. John, you are on KDKA. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Doug, I planted garlic over a year ago, and it was from an older crop. And for reasons of my rehab, I was unable to get to it, to take it out in July. Didn't get to it till maybe September. There was nothing there. Now, can I just throw away what's left in there and use the same soil for planting tomatoes, or should I start over with fresh soil?
Was it a container?
Yeah, 5 gallon.
Oh, okay. Well, you could put a tomato in there. I would just add about 1/3 new material, new soil in there. And then when you do put the tomato in there, I would use a good fertilizer. I prefer, for containers, I prefer a liquid fertilizer, like a concentrate that's organic. And you mix up like 2 tablespoons per gallon. And just about every time you water from June to August, you put that fertilizer in there. A 5 gallon bucket is a little small for a full size tomato. As long as you are sure you can keep it watered, it'll be fine. But without water, what happens is we get a thing called blossom end rot. And it's a calcium deficiency on the tomato, but it's a watering issue. And so if the plant in that container doesn't get the water it needs, it can't uptake the calcium that it wants. And then we get the your tomatoes you've waited for all those months start to get like black on the bottom. So as long as you can keep it watered, you'll be fine. You need to keep the soil evenly moist, and you'll be fine with your tomato. It'll be fine in that soil. Like I said, just add a little bit more and keep it fertilized, and you'll be fine.
I'm going to pick up some 15-gallon containers.
Those would be perfect. Oh, those would be perfect. It'd be so much easier for you with the 15-gallon container. I know it's kind of a pain because that's a lot of material to have, you know, a lot of soil to have in that 15-gallon container. But once you get it filled up, you won't have to water as often. That's going to make your life so much easier, and your tomatoes will love you for it. Do you know what tomatoes you're going to grow in there, or does it matter? You're just going to find something at a nursery.
Well, I have a Better Boy and a Big Boy, and okay. I'm looking forward to maybe getting a hold of the Limbaugh potato top.
Oh, I hope you could. I hope you would, because that would be fine for a 15-gallon container. It's going to need staked, though. That one gets big. That one's going to get, even in the container, it's going to get, 7-8 feet tall, but you're going to get some nice, big, old-fashioned, thin-skinned, tasty beefsteak tomatoes. I always say the recipe is 2 pieces of white bread, mayonnaise, 1 slice of tomato, put them together and go to heaven. That's what we do. I can't wait for tomato season, John. It's going to be great. So I wish you the best with your garden. Give us a call back, too, if you got another question. Always glad to help. And you going to try garlic again this year, or are you done?
Pardon me?
Are you going to try and grow garlic at the end of the year again or not?
Oh, I will. I will. Okay. I'll try it again. Anyway, one last real quick thing. These are Limbaugh tomatoes plants available in local nurseries, or can I only get it through you?
The only way to get them is that one day, June 1st, at Sorgel's. If they have some left over, which I can't guarantee, you could pick them up another day, you know, get one for free and buy one after that. But in the last several years, they've all gone. All the people come and they get that tomato because they want it. And so if you reach out to me separately, if you go to DougOster.com, send me an email. I'll see what I could do. I'll try and save one for you. I can't guarantee you, because that plant swap, it's crazy, John. It's only lasts about a half hour, and it's just like, it's nuts. And so we'll do our best for you if you can't get there from Washington, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for your call, John. I do have some other questions from listeners who have sent them to me via email. Sue has bulbs that she did not get in the ground in the fall. What should she do with them? Should they be discarded or should they be planted right now? Well, I always tell people, if they still are solid, if you can squeeze them and they're solid, get them in the ground right away. And again, it's getting awful late for that, but you have nothing to lose. Put them in the ground, see what happens, and cross your fingers, say your prayers. Nick had an interesting question. Looking for your recommendation for making a homemade weed killer. And I told Nick, I hate homemade stuff. Rarely do I ever recommend homemade stuff. You want something that science has vetted, especially with something like a weed killer. They make some great organic, natural herbicides. Burnout, Avenger, this one from Whitney Farms called Lawn Weed Killer. One of them uses iron to overdose. The other one uses high-strength vinegar. All non-chemical things to deal with the weeds. Don't mix up your own things for dealing with pests or fungicides. Well, there's one homemade fungicide called the Cornell mixture. Look that one up. That's the only homemade thing I think that I recommend at all. And Marilyn says she has several rhododendrons that have been at least 20. They're 20 years old, very large and tall. They cover the windows. Can they be trimmed down and when? Yes, they can, but you want to wait until after they're done blooming because the buds are on there right now. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
All right, there he goes, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Coming up, Cinco de Mayo on the Coons Cooking Hour on KDKA.